Jason Harris from Jason's Connection, the founder of Jason's Connection, is here to interview and introduce to our audience Ross McKenzie, who has premiered his film Bipolarized with the Real Abilities Film Festival premiering in New York City in 2014. Ross is also going to be appearing at the Cincinnati Real Abilities Film Festival, where he will be showing his film and also speaking on a panel. Ross was diagnosed with bipolar disorder. He was told he would have to take lithium for the rest of his life, but the drug left him in a foggy haze. Ross decided to resolve his symptoms outside of conventional medicine and began to treat and to discover the cause of his mental breakdown. Ross's 15-year journey is an exploration of different approaches to psychotropic meds. And here we are to present Jason Harris interviewing Ross McKenzie on his film, Bipolarized, and about his life.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Thank you for the introduction.
Okay. How did you get diagnosed with bipolar, and how did that make you feel?
You know, so I was 21 years ago, and I was actually, so my mother was the daughter of a doctor, and my sister at the time had just finished her master's program at University of Miami in Florida, and so my family really only knew the kind of the Western medical approach to treating symptoms. So I guess I'll try and keep it short. I was actually at a self-development seminar in Chicago. It was a firewalk seminar in March of 1993. And during this firewalk, I walked this 12-foot bed of coals, and the person who was doing this, kind of facilitating this workshop was, you know, for 6 hours, saying, listen, you're going to walk on fire when you go outside. When you walk on fire, you're going to realize that you can do anything, that you're absolutely unstoppable. Nothing can stop you in life. So on the other side of this 12-foot firewalk, I literally felt like a switch was flipped, and I was in this euphoric state of blissful ecstasy that just kept escalating and escalating and escalating. It was only years later that I actually, through my research, discovered that what I experienced was most likely a what's referred to as a kundalini awakening. For the audience or anyone who's listening, kundalini is an energy. It's the base of all of our spines as humans. And for different reasons, this kundalini energy can get ignited. So, you know, in different parts of the world, a kundalini awakening, which I refer to as kind of like a spiritual awakening, is actually celebrated. It's a huge gift in many parts of the world. And in the Western world, where it's very misunderstood, as it was, I believe, in my case, it's often diagnosed as a disease, as bipolar often, and then people are often medicated and told they need to take medication for life and they need to take these medications for what this disease that they're going to have for life. So I really, through my own research, kind of discovered that this is an energy that can be harnessed. I now use it for a lot of creative projects right now. But that was kind of the beginnings 21 years ago of what launched this kind of, you know, integrated mind, body, spirit health journey for me.
Mm-hmm. And when you got diagnosed, you were put on lithium. Can you explain what it's like to be on lithium and what it feels like to be off lithium?
Sure. So at the time that I was diagnosed and I was, like I say, in this very much, you know, euphoric state, you know, the doctors only knew that kind of one route. So I was being put on lithium. It was like immediately I could feel within days, I could feel my whole body just being sedated. And I was on a pretty high dose of lithium. And I left the hospital, I guess it was probably about 1,200 milligrams of lithium. And for that entire summer of 1993, as I left the hospital, I just remember sitting in a couch, in this one couch, this one chair, and not moving for the entire summer. I literally couldn't even function. I think part of me was processing the fact of this awakening that I just had, and the other part of me was just really having to deal with the side effects, which for me were just, you know, lethargy, weakness, tiredness, brain fog, and just in general kind of this overlay of an emotional flatline. Where I couldn't function, I couldn't think. And that went on for years, you know, as I was kind of beginning to kind of dabble in kind of the integrated health world and started looking at things, but it went on for years and years until finally I found a place, kind of an experimental clinic in Costa Rica in 2010, 5 years ago now. It wasn't perfect in any sense, but it had a lot of the right, some of the right tools there. It had organic food and, you know, a good acupuncturist. And so there's some good little tools and elements that were there, and I was finally able to detox off of lithium after being on it for, gosh, it was like 16 years at that point. So immediately as I was detoxing off, and then the first thing I noticed, because it had been so many years, like a, you know, decade and a half that I've been on lithium, that I felt my life force start to come back. I started to feel some of those elements of, you know, the weakness, the tiredness, the brain fog were starting to lift. And then it was really at that point that I was able to really dig deep and start to address the root cause of what was kind of creating symptoms. So that was, you know, that was kind of the before and after of being on it and being off, and it was a huge wake up coming off. I didn't realize just how much I was feeling kind of incapacitated and immobilized until I actually started to get off and be able to address root cause symptoms.
One of the things that would happen when you first got medicated is the person told you that you wouldn't be able to do anything. What was that like to be told that sort of everything was done in some ways, even though this medicine was trying to be helpful, but it moved?
Well, was that experience? You know what? I remember it like it was yesterday, and it was a really, you know, I just think I still hear that happening today, and I find it to be a very tragic thing that you know, in many cases, that same story can be told to patients that are in very kind of vulnerable positions. So what I mean, my experience of it was, I was very angry at the psychiatrist, but I feel like I have that psychiatrist to thank, because when he shared that with me, that pretty much, you know, your life's done, chalk it up, you've got this disease for life, you got to take these meds for life, I know they're going to have side effects, but just basically the answer was just deal with it. So it lit a fire, and so I have gratitude for that psychiatrist. What initially started out as anger, it actually lit a fire, and it was that lighting of the fire to propel me to go on this deep journey, this quest. Just to figure out, you know, really kind of unravel and unlock what happened. So in the end, I have a lot of gratitude, but initially it was a lot of frustration and a lot of like, gosh, how dare you say that to me? I'm in a really vulnerable place, and you're pretty much telling me to chalk my life up. Not the greatest things that you want to hear from a doctor that you're, you know, you're really hoping is going to kind of be offering some hope as opposed to just, you know, creating what was, you know, at times kind of creating like a victim mentality when I was really buying into the disease and the disorder and the illness that it was permanent.
Now, the film does a really good job of showing that experience, and I think some of the stories, it's a good journey about you going around the world back and forth. It goes back and forth through time as well and through the different landscapes that you've been. How did you decide to tell such a deeply personal story? Was it frightening to expose yourself, especially with the stigma around mental health?
Well, you know, I just, it was something I felt, even, it was interesting, even back when the experience first happened, when I had this kind of like, again, I refer to it as a spiritual awakening. I don't refer to it as an illness. And so when that happened, I really kind of looked back at that time, and it was a very kind of, you know, it was a confusing time. But you know, sorry, it's I'm losing train of thought. So your question, can you say your question again? I was caught up in
that. How did you decide to tell such a deeply personal story? Was it frightening to expose yourself?
Right. So, you know what? Yeah, I really, it's like when it happened, I felt like this is a story I was going to tell one day. I didn't know what the timing was going to be on it. But, you know, like I say, when I detoxed off of lithium and started to feel my life force come back, at that point, for many years, even though I was having, you know, struggles at it, my background was in the entertainment business. You know, I was an actor. I was also producing theater in Toronto and Canada. I was doing lots of television commercials. So I kind of had already had that background, and I had a love for the craft and the creativity of that craft. And so by the time I started feeling my life force come back, I just knew it was now time to tell the story. And it was amazing for me just to feel that, just how synchronicity can unfold, because as I made the decision to really step in and write the story, and I knew it was going to be a very vulnerable piece, but I felt like I had to do it. It wasn't so much for me. I had to tell the story really for everyone else and for as many people that I could touch that would be able to see the film. Because what I realized and what became very clear to me as I started to come out the other side was that the story that we've been told for the last 50 to 60 years by psychiatry and the pharmaceutical industry, it's just, as I did the research and went deep into it and talked to doctors and journalists and all the people that have really been studying this very, very closely, is that we've been told a story that just simply isn't the true story. You know, we've been sold something called the chemical imbalance theory, and there's no such thing as a chemical imbalance theory. The chemical imbalance theory is really was kind of created as a marketing tactic to get people to take their medications. And so I really felt that it was just at that point, it was my duty to tell the story. One, to show people that, yes, it is absolutely possible to, if you choose, to get to the root cause of your symptoms and completely heal your symptoms. These are not permanent lifelong diseases and conditions and disorders. I knew that I had to tell the story, and I knew I had to tell it in a very deep and personal and intimate way, and I knew that by doing that, it was going to kind of afford me the ability to not only tell my own story, but then talk about the larger global picture of just how we've been kind of, the train's kind of been going down a track that is not really supporting, and I wanted to show people that, you know, through a functional integrated medicine of mind, body, spirit journey, that people can really heal themselves. And it was, I had to tell the story. It was something that just nothing was going to stop me from making it.
Thank you. Can you share some of the ways that you tried to heal yourself throughout this journey and how they made you feel, whether you felt they were that one worked really well or that one was good but it didn't feel exactly right? Can you sort of go through that process?
Sure. I mean, there are so many different things I tried. I mean, I think when I look back now, there's some things that are really a benefit, some tools that I still use. I'm a big believer in energy medicine and shamanic work. I've worked with a lot of different shamans at different parts of the world. I've worked with very gifted people who practice energy medicine. And so that's been a huge piece to the puzzle to me as far as the whole integrated journey. Acupuncture I find to be a phenomenal tool as well, because you can really, with a great acupuncturist, you know, if there's any kind of symptomology coming on of, you know, anxieties, anything of that nature, a really skilled acupuncturist can, like, you know, you can go on the table and with some very precise needles, that acupuncturist can really settle the nervous system in a way. So I find that to be a hugely beneficial tool. And then some of the real basics that I learned along the way that, you know, it took me a while to integrate them, but now that I've integrated them and it's become a normal way of life is, you know, just really good organic nutrition every day, and exercise every day, and meditation. You know, those three things that, you know, the meditation, the exercise, you can do those for free. Those things don't cost money. And, you know, the organic nutrition, yes, that costs a little bit more than your conventional nutrition these days, but, you know, just those three things as a foundation, you know, they are foundational parts of my life now that I, and without them, if any of those things kind of slide off, which I just don't let them anymore, you know, it's amazing how those three things can really, you know, your health, your mental health can start to slide, but by keeping those things as a strong core, you can really be on top you know, really being in a solid, balanced state. So I always talk about, you know, nutrition, exercise, and meditation as three really basic foundational tools.
So I know some people view this film as controversial, and it sparked a lot of conversations. I have a couple questions around that. What do you say to people who say their medications have saved their lives, who don't agree with your side that you present in your film?
Well, you know what, I came to a very, through the process, I came to a very balanced, what I feel to be a very balanced place with that. The middle road is what I like to call it. I'm not against medication. I know that there can be a place for it. The doctors and psychiatrists that I've talked to and interviewed and throughout the world, some in the film and some that are not in the film, you know, what I learned, which makes most sense to me, is that
These medications were designed to be very short-term solutions to extreme states. And when I say short-term, we're talking like, basically, you know, a few days, maybe a week, you know, bring the nervous system down, calm the person down, and then as quickly as they may have been put on, really look at getting them off. And that was, from what I understand, always to be the intention of these medications. So, you know, I know there's people that see this as controversial, but I really, I don't come from a place that I'm not anti-med at all. What my mission is and what my, you know, what I choose to share with people is I'm really pro integrated medicine when it comes to treating symptoms, you know, because I think that what's unfortunate and what's been, you know, kind of the masses have been kind of thrust on upon for the last few decades is just that, again, kind of what was said to me by that doctor, once you're diagnosed, you have this disease, you have it for life, you have to take meds or multiple meds for the rest of your life. And I just continue through the work that I do, through a treatment center that I'm in just in the beginning stages of building here in Costa Rica, just showing people that by really addressing, focusing on the root cause symptoms, it's a way to kind of heal these symptoms, heal whatever challenges there may be, and really go on to live, you know, creative, abundant, fun, and beautiful lives. And that's really what my focus is moving forward.
Mm-hmm. And for people who do want to take the afford alternative route, how can people afford to do the alternative route? And if they can't travel to other countries, what options do they have?
Well, you know what? That's a question that comes up a lot, Jason. And I think that's what the first step, what I'm kind of focusing on, is just awareness. You know, like I said a few minutes ago, the one thing that everyone can be doing to really, you know, look at beginning to stabilize is, number one, regular exercise, eating pure, clean food, and you know, learning some form of meditation. Those are things that, I mean, we all need to eat food, but, you know, the organic costs a little bit more. But these are things that don't, those are the things that this foundational set doesn't really cost a lot of money per se. So I always say that that's one way to kind of get really key elements in that are going to start to establish stability and balance in one's health. As far as the other tools that I've tried that, yes, you know, did cost money, I was really fortunate in that I got a broadcasting deal. So, the Canadian government and the envelopes from the Canadian government paid for a lot of the journey in the film that you saw, which was very, very fortunate. But I had to say that, you know, it's all about really kind of figuring out, you know, what can one afford? What is the budget? And, you know, and I think for a big part of my life moving forward till the last breath will be about just continuing to raise awareness about what it is, what functional medicine means, what integrative medicine means of addressing mind, body, and spirit and addressing the whole person. Because if we can move towards creating systems that really can allow everyone the possibilities to afford these things, because it will be a new way of life, it will be a new way of looking at things. You know, I think humanity and the world, people's, you know, our health and our mental health is going to be in a much better place.
Mm-hmm. If people can and can't afford to do the alternative routes, how do you suggest they find the best practitioners?
The best practitioners, if they can. Well, you know, I know that in Canada, for example, like we have healthcare that's paid for. So, you know, people ask me that there too, and I say you can get really creative because there's great therapists that are covered by, you know, our what's called OHIP, our Canadian medical system. So in Canada, I'm familiar with. In the U.S., I'm not so familiar, but I would say, yeah, to people in Canada, it's like, listen, how can I afford to do these things? It's like, just, you know, Google is an amazing tool, and there's, by doing research on that, there's creative ways to still have access to these therapies and these tools. You know, in Canada, finding out how the Canadian government is actually you know, mm-hmm. paying those bills and paying for those practitioners. And I think, you know, in the States, I'm not sure exactly how it works. I know you don't have, you know, I'm not sure how the Obamacare is about full coverage health care, but I think it's just a way, you know, ways of getting creative. And then, you know, I always add in, too, is that, you know, really kind of checking and seeing where you're spending your dollars. It's like, you know, I say to people, you know, is it really important that you have that, you know, that new big screen TV or that new computer or that new whatever? But, you know, looking at some of those expenses that may be paid on toys and saying, how can I take some of that money and put it back into my own health and having some of that money as your budget for your own, what I call your own self-care.
Now, like, what happened if, like, how did you find the practitioners you did and made sure that, you know, they were able to do the things you wanted them to do and weren't just going to take your money and stuff overseas? Is there a process that you went to do that? And for people who can't afford to do what you did, is there a process that you sort of give them recommendations of finding where to go?
Well, you know what, there is. I haven't found anything right now. That's why I say I'm in the process of creating and building a treatment center here, because not only do I want it to have everything that I found to be very beneficial, but I also want to make it very cost effective for people too, so that people can afford it. But you know, it's one of the things where I think it's just by really being able to do kind of research and figuring out, number one, what's your budget, and then starting to also ask the questions, okay, what are some of the tools and ways that I could, you know, whether it's a therapist, finding a therapist that's within budget, there's lots of free meditation people that are offering and teaching free meditation classes. So there's a lot of stuff that's out there that's alternative, that's free, you know. And I think it's really, you know, I always ask people, and I do coaching for people now that want to just kind of, you know, they're inspired by the journey and they want to figure out, okay, how can I kind of rebuild my life? And, you know, I always just say to people, the first question I ask before I actually agree to work with someone is, how badly do you want this? Is this really, really important to you that you reclaim your life back? And not only that you get your life back to balance, but, you know, do you want that vitality? Do you want to be able to, you know, learn how to kind of harness and work with, you know, that creative life force? Because that's a really important question, you know, finding out the answer to that is going to really kind of let me know how much the person really wants to kind of dive into the journey. And it's an important question, because, you know, not everyone's up for doing the work, and that's okay. You know, I love working with the people that really have that deep desire for transformation and change. And I find when I get the opportunity to work with those people, which I'm really fortunate that I do, I get to witness really magical shifts and changes happen in people's lives, and that's, you know, there's nothing sweeter for me to witness that.
The film itself is shot really creatively. You sort of get a sense of the way that you sort of in some ways see some of these things visually. How did you and director Rita Kotze hit upon the technique you used for the film, the flashback scenes in New York? And sorry if I got her name wrong.
Oh, Rita Kotze. Yeah. So the question, when it came to the shooting, how did that all come about?
Yes, and how did you use the technique that you used too?
Yeah, well, you know what, I was really lucky in the sense that when I got the broadcasting deal in Canada, I was offered to, actually the broadcaster said, listen, you're new to the documentary world, so they said they greenlit my film, but I had to interview some production companies in Canada, and so actually Gord Henderson, who's 90th Parallel Productions, of which Rita Kotze, you know, works with, and that's one of his directors and journalists that works with him. I got to like choose them, and they chose and they agreed to work with us. So, you know, I got to work with like what's considered one of the top documentary film companies in Canada. So it was a dream come true for me, because it allowed me to kind of really focus on the creative and get to work with some really, really exceptional people. And so, you know, we also had an incredible director of photography, Mark Peachy, who, you know, I think he brought a lot of kind of the look to the film as well. And then as far as the editing too, I got to again inherit a great editor that came with 90th Parallel Productions as well. And so it just ended up being this incredible collaboration that I know I could not have done on my own. And I was really, you know, I'm glad that you brought that up. I was really kind of excited how it turned out in the end too. I think there's being able to go in and do the flashbacks. They asked me from the very beginning if I'd be willing to do that. And for me, it was very cathartic, and it was exciting, you know, 20 years later to do those recreations. And some of them were very, very heavy, you know, to go back and do the hospital escape and being locked up in a straitjacket and all that stuff that actually happened to me 20 years ago. What for me was very cathartic and very healing was being able to do that and recreate that from a really balanced, you know, clear place where I
you know, here I am 20 years later, I'm very clear on what my mission is moving forward. And so it was really, yeah, there was a lot of healing took place and being able to go back and recreate that and bring it forward on film.
What was it like hearing what your family members had to say in their interviews in the film, and how did it affect your relationship with them?
You know, that's a good question. I was, my poor mom, who's a very private person, I had to beg and plead with her to be part of this film. She did not, she doesn't like, she's private, she doesn't like cameras. I said to her, I said, I think you're one of the most important pieces to this. I said other parents need to see you because they need to also see that this is possible. And so, you know, how did it affect my relationships? I think it deepened my relationships with my mom and my sisters. You know, those interviews were the one and only time I was not allowed to be anywhere near the set, which I totally understand for obvious reasons. They didn't want my sisters or my wife or my mom kind of looking over their shoulder at me to make sure that what they're saying is okay. So I think it made for a very raw interviews with all of them. And I thought they all did a really great job. I thought they just told it. They told it from their point of view, and I think it added to the piece, and it added to the story. And just all my relationships are very deep with all of them, and it all it did was actually deepen them in a really beautiful way.
That's awesome. Now, it's been a couple of years since you wrapped Bipolarized, and you've gone a little bit into what you're doing and stuff, but what is your life like now, and what type of things are you doing now?
You know, life is just, it's a whole new life. It's like a rebirth. It's funny, I look back kind of a lot of the journey as I don't have a disease, I don't have a disorder. I have a lot of creative energy that I get to use, and you know, I have a daughter now. I have a little boy that's on the way that we just found out that's due in August. So my family is growing. These are the things that are, you know, it's a dream for me, because I literally, for those years that I was just kind of in this foggy haze, I didn't know if I was ever going to be able to have a family, if I was ever going to be able to place to, you know, to really be a father and be stable. So already I feel like life's amazing. You know, one project I'm doing right now too that I'm really excited about, it's a mental wellness summit. I'm not sure if you remember the naturopathic doctor in the film, Dr. John Dempster. He's the one I did all the chelating with, and he and I, through the filmmaking process, became very good buddies. And so we decided to partner together on what's called a mental wellness summit. We're actually launching it this August 10th to the 17th. Right at the same time that the due date of my boy is being born. And what we're doing is we're interviewing kind of experts in the mind, body, and spirit space when it comes to tools and addressing and healing mental health symptoms. And so we're really excited. We've got an incredible lineup of people in the functional medicine space and energy medicine, exercise, nutrition, and we've kind of gathered the best of the best. It will be a free online event from the 10th to the 17th of August, where everyone will get to, you know, hear. There will be about four or five interviews a day that we'll offer for free to just online around the world. And then at the end of that kind of week, people that are interested and really want to kind of have all the interviews and all the information and all the transcripts, we're just offering it at a very minimal cost that people can kind of purchase the whole package. And, you know, this is the first one of its kind that's being done in the world, and we're hoping, you know, our intention is to do more, because I think this information that's going to come out from our 30, you know, experts is, I think, it's only going to be just the beginning. There's so much information to offer. There's so much, you know, more information that we'll be able to tackle doing a second summit from 2016. So I think it's just been a lot of fun. I live this, you know, but I feel like there's a very fortunate, kind of abundant, creative life, and I have full gratitude for all the years that and all the hard times and the challenging times and the dark times that brought me to this point. Because I feel like I just have such a level of gratitude for the life that's moving forward now, and getting to kind of take all those years and really kind of pay it forward and just offer what I feel to be really valuable information so that people can reclaim their lives.
Now, you talk, that's amazing, first of all, and we hope to be able to support you in some way with that, but you talk about being misunderstood. And it seems like part of that misunderstanding is that people see bipolar as only negative. And you seem to talk a lot about some of the positives, too. Can you go into that a little bit, the misunderstanding and some of the ways that you see it as a positive?
Well, yeah, I think the misunderstanding is that we've pretty much, what we've done in the Western world, we've medicalized symptoms, and so that to me is not a positive, because I think what the system at times can be very challenging is create kind of a victim mentality and kind of take away hope from people, and so I think I think the positives. And what I say to anyone that I work with or anyone that I come across that is dealing with any form of mental health symptoms, and this is what was probably a huge part of what allowed me to really step into my healing and get to the root of what was happening, is that I really started to, instead of looking at them as a negative, I started to look at these symptoms as gifts. And I say that with all my clients that I work with or anyone I'm talking to that's really kind of struggling, I say the moment you can actually start to shift and look at these symptoms as incredible gifts, because that's what I really see them as. These are gifts. Your body, these symptoms are speaking to you. They're telling you that something is out of balance in some area of your life, whether it be physiologically in your body, whether it be, you know, whether it could be anything going on. It could be relationships that are maybe toxic relationships, but these, you know, anxiety, depression, bipolar symptoms, your body is talking really loudly to you, especially the more severe these symptoms get. So when I see people kind of click and start to get that, when the person can then start to ask, what are these symptoms? What is the gift? What is being told to me? What can I glean from this? That is the point when real transformation can start to take place.
And what is the biggest thing you want viewers to take away from Bipolarized?
Biggest thing? Well, that's a loaded question. I think the biggest thing, I think our thesis, our intention before we, as we're kind of writing the script of the film and before we went to camera, so we're writing the script kind of the summer, really intensely in the summer of 2011, and then we went to camera in September 2011. And I think myself and Rita, a director, Gord, executive producer, and there's Mark, there's Noel, there's these other team members. Our intention was that we really wanted to kind of offer a story that it was really about that we're at this point in time where we need to become our own best doctors, that, you know, we need to do our own research. I think if that's a takeaway that people would get from the film, is that it's really important to kind of just really take charge and be empowered of yourself. You know, I think there's lots of amazing doctors out there and all sorts of therapists and everything, and I think they are all tools to help us kind of through the journey, but it's really about really taking charge and being empowered ourselves. And then if people can kind of take that away, if people get that, then I'll feel like that part of my job is done in making the film.
Thank you so much for doing the interview with us today. It was very insightful.
Oh, my pleasure, Jason.